Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Tuesday, January 29th. excuse me, 28th of 2020. And I'm your host, of course, as normal, the Miracle Man. And I'm so glad that you could join us tonight, wherever you may be, however you may be accessing the program tonight. And we are at our normal spot here at the McDonald's here at 1711 South Saginaw here in Midland. And it's always a great thing to have you whenever you choose to tune in. That is always a blessing, always, every time you tune in. And it is a testimony Tuesday. I do have a testimony to share with you. And so we will do that in a little bit. Also, we have something, there is something involving the Tigers that I did not mention last night. I will do that tonight. And also, we'll have my Super Bowl pick. We will do that later in terms of during sports, along with an explanation of why I pick who I picked. And there is a reason for the pick, but you'll have to listen to hear the reason. And yes, it is told that if I have a bet with someone about the Super Bowl, if the person has a different pick than mine and their team loses, they owe me a Coke and a donut. A Coke and a donut. There's no or, it's and. And if it's a really bad loss, there could be a requirement that says maybe that it has to be a very particular donut, like peanut butter or something. And by bad, I mean like by mega points. Like, if I say the team is going to win by 6 points, the other person says the team is going to win by 6 points, their team is going to win by 6 points, but instead my team wins by like 20 points, 24 points, 30 points. Oh, there could be possibly be requirements that there has to be maybe a peanut butter donut and a vanilla Coke. We'll just have to wait and see what happens on Sunday. It all depends on what happens on Sunday. We'll be determined. Yes, by the way, there will be a price for me to pay as far as me having to give someone a donut. If they pick a team different from mine and their team wins, as is the case 2 years ago, I owed someone a Coke and a donut. as a result of me picking the wrong team to win the Super Bowl. Yes, it was plastered on my Facebook directly after the game that I owed them a Coke and a donut. They plastered that on my Facebook, and they announced it because they were at the Super Bowl party with me. And they're like, yay, Ruby owes me a Coke and a donut. Ruby owes me a Coke and a donut. That's crazy that they actually announced it and put it on my Facebook, don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was funny. They wanted to make sure that I had it, that I knew it, that I owed them stuff. And they wanted it because this person likes Cokes and donuts too. Where milk and a donut, while tasty, doesn't flow quite the same sounding way as Coke and a donut. But there's something about Coke and a donut, Coke and a donut, Coke and a donut, Coke and a donut. By the way, what'd you get?
Which
one? Oh, tell me they're not the losing no salt ones.
No salt.
Boo! listeners, public address announcement. Do not order McDonald's fries unsalted. Do not order McDonald's fries unsalted. Why, you may ask? Well, they really don't taste the same without the salt on them. What? Yeah, well, there's the freshness guarantee. But then again, you can always tell them you'll wait for fresh. But don't tell them the no salt thing. Because when I go to these fast food places, it's different to sit down, but I expect the fast food places to have the fries pre-salted. And sometimes I like actually having a lot of salt on them. So that way there's like salt marks on my lips. Because in my mind, if there's the salt marks, that means they're tasty. It really does. By the way, yes, I am going to Kentucky this weekend to see my brother for his birthday. He's meeting us halfway between here and Alabama. Please think, food-wise, what is it that I really want? Chick-fil-A, Waffle House, biscuits and gravy. Let me think what else that really sounds good. Maybe Zaxby's, I don't know. Something we don't have up here.
Have you ever been to Kentucky?
Have I been to Kentucky? I've been at least through it a lot of times.
But you've never, like, stopped there or went there for a reason?
On vacation, yeah, through it, yeah. On vacation, through it, yes. And stopped, like, to stay in the hotels and stuff.
Oh.
Yes. Because usually I went to more like Tennessee, Georgia, Alabama a couple times. I mean, a few times. And some people think that Alabama is kind of depressing. I beg to differ. Because I really like it a lot. It's one of my favorites. Along with Tennessee, Georgia. Alabama or Florida, it depends on what I want. If I want, like, true Southern Heart stuff, I'd pick Alabama over Florida. But if I want, like, weather, like, during the winter or something, then I pick then I pick Florida. But for other things, I would pick, like I said, Alabama. Same thing with Georgia. Georgia over Alabama? I like both a lot, but I say, yes, Georgia over Alabama, especially when you factor in ATL. Ship Atlanta. I haven't really been to South Georgia, so I don't know what to say about that. Well, I've been to South Alabama when I had seen somebody that lived that who had wintered there for a little while, and it was right near the beach, Orange Beach, Alabama. It was a nice place. It was on spring break. Another good time in the South. There are some other food wish lists that I have, but because we're not going far enough south, they don't have those things. Specifically, Cookout, Bojangles, and no, I don't think they have a Hattie B's. I wish they did. Because Hattie B's, when I went to Nashville last year, it was really good chicken. I love that food, that chicken there at Hattie B's. The other best chicken I've had, though, I think, as far as like true Southern fried chicken, not the tenders, but Southern fried chicken, was Champy's. Headquartered in the Chattanooga area. They have locations in Tennessee, three over in the Chattanooga area. There were two, now soon to be three. One in Alabama somewhere, one in Mississippi, one over in the Nashville area. I don't think there's one in Knoxville yet, but I'm sure there will be someday. I didn't say Nashville, I said Nashville and Knoxville, because that's how some of those people down there say the names of some of those. There's even a 511 system in Tennessee, 511 number you can call for traffic in a lot of states. I dialed the out-of-state number from here in Michigan, and one of the things that says, like, Interstate 75, Knoxville area. And then it says, Interstate 75, Knoxville to the Kentucky state line. An automated system actually said Knoxville. And I thought that was kind of cool. I had heard it said like that once before, maybe twice. But this was back, like, in 2010 that I had heard this. So literally 10 years ago. But another thing I wish, a Southern Theory. Why don't any of these applications, why are they only linked to different countries? Why not different dialects of America like a Southern one? Because they've done studies, actually. Studies show that as far as in America, Southern accent is considered to be the most charming. And quite honestly, I have to agree. I do have to agree. Because there's something about when you hear that southern twang. Just something about it. And in Kentucky, you're kind of in one of those places where some people have it. I mean, a lot have it, but a lot don't. Kind of depends on where. Obviously, more southern or rural parts of the state. Yeah, southern or rural will have it more so. So, like where we're going, Elizabethtown, which is about 40 minutes south of Louisville, some of them have it, I'm sure. And where we're staying, though, is in a place called Radcliffe. And Radcliffe is a decent area. Not huge, but decent. Yeah. And so I'm excited to see my brother and what God's doing in his life. By the way, the testimony. So the story, then the testimony is one time Ray gets called into the boss's office at his coal mine where he works in Alabama. He gets told, we're laying off a bunch of the people here, and you're one of them. A week later, he goes to cashes what would have been his last check, but then gets called to the office. She says, "What's going on, Yank?" It's kind of funny. That guy calls Ray a Yankee because he's from up here in the north. And, so he says, "What's going on?" Where he says, "Yeah, I thought you let me off." And he says, "Oh." And he says, "Well, a lot of people," but he said, "Yank, I want to see you back here Monday morning. Time to come back to work." So praise God. He's back to work, back at the mine near Jasper, Alabama. I remember I got to go in, me and my mom and dad got to go in the truck with the supervisor guy. And it was actually really cool. I had told you guys about it. And I remember at one point when we were in it, when we were in the truck, we were to where you could kind of hear 65, which is a big interstate highway that goes between Indiana through Louisville, Kentucky, Elizabethtown, Bowling Green, Nashville, Tennessee, on into Alabama. And it goes through a huge chunk of Alabama, like 360 miles of Alabama. And so we did that. That was nice that we got to, that we had gotten to do that. But it's a a great testimony. God works. So never give up on God. Never give up. Keep believing God. As I said, the start of the year, 2020 was going to be a year of plenty. I'm believing God for it still. By the way, listeners, I didn't just come up with it because it rhymes. Yes, 20 and plenty rhyme. Yes. But as they would say, that's beside the point. That was something that God had said. God made it that way. Wasn't some little thing that I came up with. Nope. God did that. Amen. So, minute here. We're going to sing a song. And then we're going to open up the Word of God to the book of Matthew. And we're going to study the Word of God for a little while. Then I'll exhort you. Amen. But first, listeners, I want to encourage you to please tell others how they can be a part of the show. The number to call in is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that number is area code 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompts. When you hear the prompt that says to call into a live show, go ahead and press 1. You will be taken through a call screener. My assistant will let me know that we have a caller. And then I'll let you on the air, and we can talk about generally whatever you'd like to talk about, whether it be sports, or what you believe in God for, or a testimony that you have that God's been moving on in your life. Maybe you got a Bible question to ask me. And whatever. So, want you to feel free to call in and have your voice heard. Amen. So, first, I have a song for you. There is none like you. No one else can change my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity, Lord, and find there is none like you. Lord, there is none like you. No one else could change my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity, Lord, and find that there is none like you. And then there's this. This is why I live. This is why I sing. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to us to show the way, from the cross to the grave, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are. Thank you, Jesus, that you are God. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done, for what you're going to do, that you are Lord, have your way tonight in this program. Thank you, Lord God, that you are moving in the lives of these people. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. To praise you and adore you. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Thank you for your hand in the lives of these listeners. And I just worship you and praise you in advance for what you're doing. And I make my confession tonight over this show. I claim that in your name, Jesus, that sponsors and partners are coming into this program. Thank you that increases in listenership are coming to this program, that finances are coming in. And most importantly, I thank you for souls coming into the kingdom of God as a result of this great radio program tonight. In Jesus' matchless name. Amen, and amen, and amen. Praise God. Open your Bible, if you would, please, to the book of Matthew, chapter 9. Woo! Hallelujah. Matthew 9. And we'll see what all the Lord has for us tonight. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you to follow along. I sing, you sing. As I pray, you pray. As I teach, you study, read the Bible, you follow along. As I teach, as I read, you follow along. When I exhort, you take notes. There may be places where I read and I give you something to write down. And when I do, my hope is that you'll take notes. Some good notes. Praise God. So we're in chapter 9 of Matthew. We're going to begin with verse 1. Jesus stepped into a boat. He crossed over and came to his own town. Some men brought to him a paralytic lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, son. Your sins are forgiven." At this, some of the teachers of the law, you know, some of the Pharisees, Sadducees, they said to themselves, this fellow is blaspheming. That's what they said about Jesus. They said he's blaspheming. Verse 4. Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, why do you entertain evil thoughts in your heart? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven, or to say get up and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Then he said to that paralyzed man, get up, take your mat, and go home. And the man got up, and he went home. When the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe, and they praised God, who had given such authority to men. Verse 9. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked Jesus' disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said, it's not the healthy that need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I have come to call the right, not call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Verse 14. Then John's disciples came and asked him, how is it that when the Pharisees fast, but your disciples don't fast? Jesus answered, how can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. No one sees a patch of unshrunk cloth and an old garment, or the patch will pull away from the garment, making the tear worse. Neither will men pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst. The wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. Nope. They pour new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. While he was saying this, a ruler came and knelt before him and said, my daughter has just died. But come and put your hand on her, and she will live. Jesus got up, turning the page. Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. Just then, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up before him and touched the edge of his garment. She said to herself, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Jesus turned and saw her. Take heart, daughter, he said. Your faith has healed you. And the woman was healed from that moment. When when Jesus entered the ruler's house and saw the flute players and heard the noisy crowd, he said, "Go away. The girl is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took the girl by the hand, and she got up. News of this spread throughout that whole region. 27. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him, and he asked them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, it is done to you." Or we could say it this way: it is done according to your faith. And their sight was restored. Jesus warned them sternly, "See that no one knows about this." Oh, but they went out and spread the news about him all over that region. While they were going out, a man who was demon-possessed and could not talk was brought to Jesus. And when the demon was driven out, the man who had been mute spoke. The crowd was amazed and said, "Nothing like this had ever been seen in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "It's by the prince of demons that he drives out demons." Verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom of God, and healing all manner of disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers to his harvest field." All right. Gather around the fire. Well, as they say down south, gather in some regions of the country, gather around the fire, on the fire. All right. So, what you see here, three different times in chapter 9. Jesus healed three different people that Jesus healed. The woman with the issue of blood, the blind man, and we're going back to the first person. The man was paralyzed. So the person who was paralyzed, the woman with the issue of blood, and the blind man, All three people, all three of those people, he examined their faith. He asked the blind man, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said, "Yes." He said, "It's done according to your faith." The man with the woman with the issue of blood, she knew that if all she did was touch his cloak, his garment, she'd be healed. And then the man who was paralyzed, he had great faith. He knew that God could heal him. The Bible says, and well, there's a verse that says, "You shall prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." That means like how you're living, how you're breaking hedges and stuff like that. But also, you got to have faith, and you got to put works to that faith. But if you don't have faith, what are you going to put the works to? So if you believe in God for that miracle, you can't go by sight. I choose to walk by faith in my life rather than by sight. If you just let yourself walk by sight and not faith, the chances of you getting that miracle get a whole lot lower. A whole lot lower. Like they're severely impacted because of your lack of faith. And Jesus looked at all three of these people. And he's looking at them and he's going, "All right, how's your faith?" He actually pulled the blind guy, brings the blind people inside and says, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" They say yes. And that is just so cool. So cool. They had that level of faith. That they just knew. With all their heart, soul, strength, and mind. They just knew that Jesus was a healer and that he was able to heal their body. They didn't have to think about it. They didn't have to question, can he do it? Can he do it? Why won't he do it? Well, he did it for them. They had faith in him that he would, that he was the healer. And The first person, though, when that lame man, when that paralyzed man got healed, those Pharisees and those Sadducees were sitting there and, like, they're all like, he's talking blasphemy. He's talking blasphemy. And you know those Pharisees, those Sadducees, they didn't have nothing else to do but just go after Jesus, harass them any way, they, any way, shape, or form that they could. At one point in John, they say, there are 6 days for work. The Sabbath isn't one of them. And they were getting mad at him all because of the day that he was healing. And I think their concept was messed up. Now, back then, these people, back then, they didn't necessarily have a Bible that they could turn to. They didn't have what we have today. These people had, they had heard of Jesus through the grapevine, meaning they had heard other people talk about him. But they didn't have the Bible like they do, like we do today. They didn't have the great teachings of Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagin. They didn't have no Kenneth Hagin talking on faith. They didn't have a Dr. Barclay. They didn't have Oral Roberts. They didn't have any of this stuff like what we have. But these people got healed right there. In the case of in the case of the woman with the issue of blood, she was healed at that very moment. Other people are healed at that very hour. Other people are healed. Nowadays, there's that recovery system that we talked about previously. So the question, I have to ask you a question. What is hindering you from receiving what you believe in God for? Do you have some doubt going down? Are you breaking some hedges? Holding grudges? Is there other open sin you got going on? Or are you in a good place, but you're just continuing to believe God and 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 put works to that faith and put works to it and put works to it and put works to it and speak the word and speak the word and speak the word? And I will never know why some people get their miracle right away, right after they start believing, but other people, they have to believe for a lot longer, or others, they just end up getting promoted to heaven. I'll never know. I won't know why on earth as to why it happens that way. But the Lord, it's like we read yesterday in Proverbs. The Lord looks on the heart. He wants to know where your heart is. He doesn't just want you to give him the lip service. Yes, I love you, Jesus. Yes, I believe. Jesus, I believe that you can deal with this for me. I believe you can. But then on the inside, you doubt him. You're doubting him and questioning everything about him and why this and why that and why this and why that. You got to have the faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the Word of God. And you got that faith chapter, Hebrews 11. And it lists all these different examples. Moses. By faith, Moses. Abraham. Isaac, Jacob, you know, the Israelites in the Red Sea, that all those different people that came before us, and it was all by faith. And by faith they received it. Although some of these things they never had it right then, right there. But God made it so that together with us, they would be made perfect. So it's with us. It wasn't just a result of. And in all these cases, you know, they put works to their faith. Who is it?
Grandpa Duke.
Oh.
How you doing, man?
I'm good.
Yeah, I like that headset there.
Well, thank you. I'm actually doing a show right now, though. But, anywho, like I was saying, all these people, they put works to their faith. They put works to their faith. Yeah, they put, like the Israelites, for example, they had to walk, they had to march through the Red Sea to get to where they were going. In Joshua with Jericho, they had to march around for 7 days. They had to march around for 7 days. One time a day for 6 days. On the seventh day, march around seven times. And then at the seventh time, trumpet sounded. Everybody shouted. And they possessed Jericho. What you see in all these cases was that, yes, God did miracles, but they had to work in order to receive what had been promised. In the case of the Israelites, and then Abraham in his old age, Sarah in her old age, 90 years old, she had a baby. That was a miracle. Because these days people don't have babies when they're 80 years old, 90 years old, 85 years old. She was 99. And she had a baby. Most people today don't have it, generally after 50. Even late 40s, a lot of times by that point, they're not having any more babies. But you realize the Lord does look on the heart. And he wants you to have faith in him, doing that he will do, and believing that he will do what he said in his word. Faith is trust. And if you want that miracle that you're believing him for, you got to believe. Think part of why that woman just touched his cloak right there. I think she knew that the chances of her running into Jesus like that ever again were almost zero. Not with all those people there. There was no social media. No way online to know where Jesus was going to be next, and when he was going to be in the region next. And if he was in this area at the time, it wasn't like today where we got cars so we could easily go to Saginaw or whatever. Nope. People came from far away, and they believed they were desperate for him. Are you at that place where you can say, I just touched his garment? If I just touch his garment, why can't I just reach my hands out and touch Jesus? Then I can be healed. I hope you have that level of faith. You have that level of expectance that he is going to do for you what you're asking him to do for you. Whatever it is. I don't know what it is. What you believe in him for. But you do. And this isn't about healing the silly. It's about miracles. What's that miracle that you believe in for? Is it your body? Is it someone you know of in their body? Is it maybe possible that what you're believing for is maybe a prodigal to come home? Maybe you're believing for increase. Maybe you're believing for to have children. Could be a lot of different things. And God wants you to be blessed. God wants you to have these things come to pass in your life. He just wants you to know. He just wants to know that you're believing. Come. Yeah.
Halloween night.
He wants to know that you believe in. That he will do what he said in his word. What he will do what he said in his word. And he wants to know that you believe in this. And that you're not just saying something. He wants to know that you believe it.
Yeah,
and but I think of the heart of blind Bartimaeus. Oh, Bartimaeus. Bless his heart. He knew. He just knew. Jesus was so impressed. He just healed him right there. But I think about the story of the blind man in John. Jesus tells him to go to the pool of Siloam and wash. He puts the mud on. There's mud put on his eyes. Jesus tells him to go to the pool of Siloam and wash. He doesn't know what that is. He has to find his own way down to that pool of Siloam. Doesn't have no walking cane. He's got to try to find his own way down there. Doesn't have no GPS. Doesn't have a phone that can talk to him and tell him where to go. Somehow he finds his way down there, washes, and comes home seeing. And he's able to tell his disciples and all that about what happened. And it's just amazing what happened in that man's life. All because he believed in Jesus. He believed in the life giver. He believed. He believed. And life, and life more abundantly, and everything else. And he just knew that Jesus was going to move on his behalf. And he was not ashamed of Jesus by any means. And he just was desperate when he received that miracle that he had been believing for since he was blind. I mean, since he was born. Because he had been blind from birth. I've been blind since I was 3 months old. I don't claim to be blind. I claim to be the person who's believing for that sight to be made manifest. I believe I see. I'm just believing for that manifestation to take place in my body. But these crazy Sadducees, these crazy Pharisees, and they ask Jesus, who sinned? That this man or his parents that he was born blind? Oh, like you're sinning in your mother's womb. No. Jesus said, no one sinned. but he was born blind. Oh, by the way, listeners, I have a memo for you. It is not God that puts any of these diseases or sicknesses upon you. I'll say it again. It is not God who puts any of these sicknesses or diseases upon you. It's in the Bible. God said, I will put none of these upon you. None. Yeah, well, he made me sick to teach you something. No. I'd learn fast. Dr. Buckley just told a story about this man who's in the hospital. Back in the day when they would put the chart at the end of your bed, looked at the chart, looked back at Dr. Buckley, looked at the chart, looked at Buckley, looked at the chart, looked at Pastor again. And he says, Pat, Dr. Buckley says, well, I'm in here. Would you like prayer? He says, well, I think God put this disease on me to teach me something. And he said, well, Dr. Barkley said, well, why would God put you in this hospital, man? Why would God put you in this hospital? And he talks to him and he asks him, Dr. Buckley tells him, you know, you really think that Jesus put it on you to teach you something, you better learn fast. And then the man says, okay. Dr. Buckley says, now would you like me to pray for you? The man says, well, being how you said it, yeah. I want prayer. I want prayed over. Yeah. Dr. Buckley says, well, all right then. Prays over him. And he says, sickness and disease, I command you to leave Billy Bob's body in the name of Jesus. Help flow in the name of Jesus. You know, that, like, that's what he prays. By the way, Billy Bob. I just came up with the name Billy Bob. So, needless to say, right after that, Billy Bob started feeling better. And basically ends up going home. It's not right when Dr. Buckley left. It was by the next day for sure, possibly even the same day, as when Dr. Buckley went in there and prayed. You know, because this man had a problem that he thought that God was trying to teach him something. Some people just have these flaky doctrines. Maybe they're misinformed. Somehow in the process, maybe he's just misinformed. Maybe they misunderstood something. But no, it is not God that puts these kinds of sicknesses and diseases in our bodies. It is God who heals us of those things. Because he wants us to be healthy, not sick. God makes a way for us where there seems to be no way. He doesn't want you bound, he wants you free. and delivered.
Yeah, I see him there, here and there.
But then again, like, oh, your grandma? Your grandma? Which grandma is it? Grandma who?
Grandma Carol.
Oh.
Grandma.
Oh, yeah.
Here.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Uh-huh. I haven't seen you in a while.
It's been a while since I've seen you. Just been a while. I do sometimes, but on Monday night I do a show now. So that's why you don't see me there. But anyhow, listeners, you need to realize that it's not God who put these kinds of, because God doesn't want to hurt us, he wants to help us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these listeners tonight. I thank you, Lord God, that your hand is upon them, that you are working on the inside of us, inside of them. You're working on the inside of us. You make a way for us, Jesus, where there seems to be no way. And I just thank you, Lord God, that you are just making yourself known in our lives tonight. Thank you for this time we spent studying, learning your way, learning your ways, and just praise God. Studying your word, and just thank you, Lord God, that somehow this would, that you would just minister to every one of these people. As I call, every one of their bodies healed in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen, amen. All right, sports. Nick Castellanos has signed a big multi-year deal with the Reds. He's been sent down 75 to the Reds. He had been in Detroit, but now he's going down to Cincinnati. We're going to have to find a good replacement for him if we ever want to get to being good again. Or at least soon. Otherwise, it could be a long spring training and a long summer again. I'm so glad that they're gonna be free from that Prince Fielder deal after next year, and then I hope they're just gonna get some good players coming forward after that. That's my honest hope. Praise God. I mean, that's my honest hope for the Tigers, that they can get some good players going forward. Super Bowl 54. One team is in the Super Bowl for the first time in 50 years. 50 years. Kansas City Chiefs have not made the Super Bowl in 50 years. They made it to the first Super Bowl in 1967. The 49ers are looking to be just like the Patriots. And when they're sixth, looking to be just like the Patriots and the Patriots and the Steelers. And when that number six, and to win their first Super Bowl in 25 years. So the winner of this is one who hasn't won it in most of my lifetime, regardless of who it is. As I'm only 30, last time the 49ers won it, I would have been 5. But Chiefs haven't even made the Super Bowl since 1970. The 49ers have bigger margins of victory in the playoffs this year than the Chiefs do. In both games, the Chiefs were down by 10-plus points at points in that game. In the case of versus the Texans, they were down by 24 points, only to come back and win by 30, almost 30. 49ers never trailed in the playoffs. They have that great runner on the 49ers who was gotten rid of, released by 6 different teams. I'm thinking now he's got a steady home. For now at least. And Chiefs, they got a great quarterback. They got Andrew Wiley as one of the offensive linemen, or whatever that is, a guard. And Andrew Wiley is local, born and raised in Hemlock. Went to Midland High, graduated in 2013. By the way, Andrew Wiley had nothing to do with my Super Bowl pick. I want to make sure you realize that he has nothing to do with my Super Bowl pick, regardless of which I pick. I will announce who I pick in a minute. I have made my decision as to what it is. I think it's going to be a good game. I really do. For the 49ers, if they're successful, they will have competed a great comeback from 4-12 to champion. Now, last year, you saw the Blues go from worst in the middle of the season in January in hockey to winning the championship. But that was in the course of the same season. But this will have been a big season-to-season comeback. Meaning one season you're way down near the bottom of your division or at the bottom of your division, you go 4-12. Next year, you end up winning the Super Bowl championship. You end up winning the Super Bowl. For the Chiefs, last year they were real close to making the Super Bowl. They just couldn't get... The only thing holding the Chiefs out of the Super Bowl last year was the Patriots. As the Patriots did a rally and were able to keep the Chiefs out. Back in the mid-90s, Chiefs could not win home playoff games. Now, in the last two seasons, they only lost one home playoff game. In the last two seasons, that was to the Patriots last year. but so let's think here. Heads, tails. Heads equals a Chiefs win. Tails equals a 49ers win. Heads, tails. Do you call tails or heads?
Who, me?
Yep.
I have no idea.
Uh-oh. That's right. You don't watch no football.
Whatever one my football square lands on.
Uh-oh. No, they're not. Hey, hey, don't ruin it. Don't ruin it. Don't ruin it.
I don't care who wins, as long as I win my little football square.
All I care, what I care about is that I want that Coke and donut. What I care about is that I want the Coke and donut. I want a Coke and donut. I want the Coke and donut. Well, no, what I care about is about a Coke and a donut, listeners. That's what I care about is a Coke and a donut. And anyhow, my honest prediction is Gold Rush. My honest pick is Gold Rush 28, Hail to the Chiefs 24. Once again, it's Gold Rush 28. It's 49ers 28, Chiefs 24. San Fran wins its first Super Bowl in 25 years. Now, for the Chiefs, I think the one Super Bowl they won was their first Super Bowl appearance. But I think it's going to be a good game. I really do. And a score from a couple days ago for basketball, Michigan State did stop their road losing woes. Their two straight games of losing on the road as they beat Minnesota 74-54. Now, I confess Psalm 91 in the over us in the name of Jesus. I say that we're going to have great peace and great joy and prosperity. And be a powerful witness for you, Jesus, in Jesus' matchless name. Amen. And I sure love you. And until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody.